Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Hope you've had a good week. I have enjoyed it and loved the weather that God has given us this week. Beautiful weather. Just a note, we have new Baptist bread out, new devotional books at the back for November and December. So help yourself, they're free. Hope they'll be a blessing. Just a little bit of an update on Mrs. Dick, Annie Dick. She's still in hospital in the ICU. She had her surgery on Monday, and the surgery went well. She's had some complications with her kidneys, not functioning that well, and it has also caused some confusion in her mind, but it's been remarkable to see, even when she had some periods of confusion, where Christ still was evident in her life. The one time I was there, this is before her surgery, and she was given her meal, I could tell she was a little confused, and she was poking away at it, and then she turned to me and she said, "Do you mind giving thanks for the food, please?" So, you know, you think of that scripture that says in Matthew that out of the good treasure of the heart, the man speaketh. We bring forth good treasure out of our heart. But those that lay up evil treasure bring forth evil fruit. And so she's been laying up good treasure in her heart for so many years that even during times of maybe a little bit of confusion, Christ is still there and he's evident. Another time she was, after the surgery, she was a little confused and I was reading to her from the Beatitudes. Then I was done reading and she started saying something. I couldn't quite make out what she was saying. And then I understood. She was saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," out of Matthew. So we finished off the rest of that passage together. It really warmed my heart to see, even in the middle of this, how she was still focused on Christ. Now, that being said, she's had a few good days now, and she's been understanding and completely aware of what's going on. So I didn't get a chance to hear yesterday. How was yesterday?
They had no dialysis treatment.
Okay.
Today they're supposed to introduce solids today.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. We had a little bit of apple juice yesterday with some pills for Stein.
Mm-hmm.
That was about enough.
Okay. Good. So she's doing better. I think the main concern right now is that her kidneys, and it's something you can be in prayer for, is her kidneys, that they would go back to an acceptable level of health, because they took a bit of a hit because of the toxins in her system from the perforated bowel. So just be in prayer for her. The Lord would give her strength and healing. If you could turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18, please. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 18. If you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. And we will read verses 19 through the end of the passage. I'll just read this myself here if you could follow along. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we think of this passage, and particularly verse 19, Lord, about the brother offended. Lord, we pray that each one of us will be so careful that we would not offend people needlessly. And Lord, we pray that that each of us would also, on the flip side of that, that we would not be given to offense, that we would not be offended by what people say or do. We ask that you would meet our needs, as each one of us has different needs spiritually. Lord, I pray you'd meet those. Pray that you be with Sister Annie. We ask that you give her healing and strength. And Lord, help her to sense your presence. We thank you for what you've done already. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I realized after the fact that we skipped over verse 17 by accident 2 weeks ago when we were in this passage last. And we will come back to verse 17, but we're going to focus on verse 19 today in hopes that we'll get through this verse. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So a brother is offended is harder to be won. So we have some examples in Scripture. Cain and Abel. You know, we see how Abel's sacrifice pleased God. Cain's did not. It was not accepted by God. And therefore, Cain allowed that bitterness to come into his heart. And he was angry against his brother and killed his brother. The first murder in this world. There was an example. That's an example of a brother that was offended. Now, he had no right to be offended. It was God that set the standard for what type of sacrifice was acceptable. And God said, you know what? If you bring the right sacrifice, you will be accepted. It was pretty simple. But he allowed his pride to get in the way. So we have Cain and Abel, brother offended. We have Jacob and Esau. We see Esau angry with Jacob. And we understand why. Jacob, you know, was deceitful and you know, took away his birthright and his blessing. We see that the friction between those two. And the Lord still protected Jacob in the end from Esau. We see contention between Joseph and his brothers. Now, Joseph, we know, was righteous. But his brothers were offended because their father preferred Joseph. He preferred Joseph. And so they plotted to kill him. Eventually, they put him in a pit, and then after that, they sold him to the Egyptians, or to the Ishmaelites, who were going to Egypt to be a slave. We have contentions between Absalom and Amnon. We have contentions between Christian brothers, Paul and Barnabas. We have contentions between Peter and Paul in Scripture. And that is not God's will for Christian brothers, Christian sisters, blood brothers, blood sisters, to have these contentions, to have offense between them. Philippians 1:9 says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." That your love. Love for who? Love for God, love for each other. That it might abound more and more. You can't be offended with somebody and love them. So there's a key to how not to be offended is to have a genuine love for someone. To pray for them. Not, you know, Lord, judge that person. I don't like them. Do something to them. Not that kind of a prayer. But a prayer of, Lord, meet their needs. Help them. Strengthen them. Help our relationship to grow. Those types of prayers. First Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men as we do toward you." So God's will is that we abound. Our love for each other gets stronger and stronger. Let me take a look at some of these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Our passage from Proverbs tells us that it likens the brother who's offended to a castle and how it's harder to win a castle than win the heart of that offended brother. And so our goal ought to be that we don't have to win an offended brother, that we are, instead of being reactionary, that we are ahead, where that we are fixing problems as they come up so that we don't have to react. Instead, we can be proactive. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." And notice, "and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." The charity of each other, one toward another, aboundeth. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, 22. That was a positive testimony of the church at Thessalonica, that their love abounded. It grew one toward each other. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Notice that, with a pure heart. "No evil motives." Oh, well, I like this fellow. He seems to have lots of money. I'm going to show him how much I care for him. Not that kind of a love, but a genuine love for who they are, for the fact that they are one of the brethren. They are someone that Christ died for. They have the same things in common that we have. Heirs together of the promises. So, going back to this thought of keeping a brother rather than trying to win an offended brother. How do we keep a brother? Well, I've already mentioned one thing, is to love them, to have a genuine love for them. Pray for them, as mentioned earlier. We have to also understand the damage that words and actions can do. The damage. You know, Hollywood gives people the wrong impression. You'll see on different movies and shows and soap operas, and I'm not glorifying them at all, but I'm telling you that they do more damage than good. They give the wrong impression that you can have all this drama and people yelling at each other, fighting and getting upset, and then at the end of it, everyone's just back to normal. Everything's okay. There's no hurt feelings. It's all just, everyone's, okay with it. True relationships don't go that way. Now, a Christian is to forgive, but oftentimes there's hurt that takes a long time to heal. And it's not just the way Hollywood portrays it. You have to understand the damage that happens when you offend somebody. When we blow up at people, get offended, many things happen. We lose their trust, one of the things that happens. We lose their trust. Maybe we lose their confidence related to trust, where maybe they would confide in us in times past, but now they're like, "Whoa, this person is unstable. I don't know if I can trust them. What are they going to say to others about what I have confided in them?" So we lose their trust, we lose their confidence. We might lose their friendship over it. I've known people that couldn't understand why, someone has said to them that, "I've forgiven you for this incident. Well, how come they don't treat me like before? How come they never invite me over to their house? How come they seem cold when I go to shake their hand?" They don't realize that there's damage done. When a person has a heart attack, when a blood clot lodges somewhere in the coronary vessels, the vessels that feed the heart with oxygen, if it's not dealt with quickly, either by clot busters or by surgery, angioplasty, that area of the heart that's no longer getting oxygenated blood can be damaged, and it can be damaged indefinitely. A person can be given some medications to kind of help splint that area of the heart, so to speak, but there can be irreparable damage done. And the same thing happens to the spiritual or emotional heart of a person. where when a person says something or does something, blows up in anger, it can do irreparable damage. A person might forgive them, but yet there's damage done. I was thinking about this, and you know, you think about that fire that came through Barrier, 2003, before my time, some of you were here and when that happened, and I know some that, you know, that the Stein family, they were living out that way during that fire and had to be evacuated. But can you imagine there in 2003, the fire? Well, it's been 13 years since then, and you know, when you drive through that area, look at all those trees that are still burnt. Sometimes people ask me, well, when did this happen? Was this last year? No, this wasn't last year. This was in 2003, 13 years ago. And yet you don't see those hills populated with nice green trees, and you know, it has not recovered. It often takes a long time for a person to recover when they have been offended. The area we got to be careful about is with joking, with practical jokes. We got to know who we're talking with, and ensure that we're not going to do something or say something that's going to offend them, because they might not understand that it's a joke. Another area to be proactive and not to offend people is to be people of integrity, where if we say we're going to do something, we do it. And, you know, sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes, if you're like me, you got a forgetful memory, sometimes you intend to do it, but you don't end up doing it. So there's an area where, you know, we got to to have integrity. Another area is to be not easily provoked. You know, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter is called the charity chapter, as many of you know. And one of the descriptions of charity is that it, in verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Now that verse there, when we look at the word provoked, sometimes the word is used in a positive way, where it is used to, you know, where the scripture talks about provoking to love and good works. That's a good use of the word provoked. But more often than not, when the scripture uses the word provoke, it means to provoke someone to anger, to upset them. And this here is speaking about how charity does not provoke somebody to anger, is not hurtful. So we got to be careful not to be easily provoked. And that's where we have to say, okay, Lord, this situation is bothering me. Lord, help me to get a grip on this. Lord, there are times when we have to put something in a box and put it on the shelf and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with this later. I'm going to prayerfully analyze the situation, and I'm not going to respond in anger. I'm not going to be offended. But as we think about how, like, being offended goes two ways. If I am offended by what someone says, I might be provoked to anger, and I might respond back, kind of like when swordsmen they parry and thrust, I might be provoked to respond in a hurtful way. So if I want to be sure not to offend someone, not to lose a brother or a sister, I'm not supposed to be easily provoked. Another thing is to be understanding. And I want to be abundantly clear when I say be understanding. Be understanding of their situation, of what a person might be going through in their life. Now, but to be clear, no matter what a Christian is going through, what they've gone through in the past, what they're going through right now, what they might be going through in the future as they think about, you know, things looming up in the days and weeks ahead, no matter what's going on, there's still not a legitimate excuse to get angry or to be offended. It's one thing to be hurt. You know, we've all been hurt, but we're not to be offended. There's a difference. But even though we see the scriptural principle that we can have these things going on in our life and that we're not supposed to, it's not a legitimate excuse to get angry or offended. We ought to be thinking about that and saying, you know what? Maybe this person is having a bad day. I'm not going to respond in anger. Maybe something is going on here that I have no idea about. And as you get to know people deeper, as you go beyond the skin level, you start to realize, oh, wow, this person does have a lot going on that more than I expected. Maybe they've got physical problems, financial problems, relational problems that are weighing them down, that are influencing them to behave differently. Maybe they've had some previous abuse or trauma, and something that's been said or done just brought back a flashback or something in their mind. Maybe they have a psychological condition. Now, I'm very careful about that area because, you know, in the psychological field, there's a lot of them, the psychologists want to pin a label on everybody. You know, and someone told me some time ago that they were diagnosed with oppositional disorder. That when somebody tells them to do something or says that they ought to do something, they get offended and they want to oppose. You know, and I looked it up. I was like, is that really true? Is there such a disorder? Well, there is a disorder in the DSM called oppositional defiant disorder. I think the Bible might describe that as the indwelling sin nature. You know, that's the sin nature that every person is born with. We don't like to listen to authority. We don't like to hear that maybe we're wrong. And so you got to be careful about these little labels. And so we're all born with that disorder. But that being said, there are some legitimate psychological conditions. A person might be dealing with anxiety. Now, we know that the best remedy for anxiety is right here. A person might tend towards depression. This is the best antidote right here, God's word. There's other conditions. You think of the autism spectrum disorder, subcategories like Asperger's, different things like this. We got to be aware of that. We've got to, when you're dealing with folks, you've got to be careful that, you know what, you're thinking about these different things that might be influencing their reaction to you. And when you interact with them, that you give them a measure of grace. Now, on the flip side, as we try not to offend people, instead of we don't want to be the one that's prone to offense. We don't want to be the one that's the brother offended from our text. Let's look at our text again. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Again, we want to be proactive. We don't want to offend somebody and then try to have to win them back. We want to be careful so that we show them true Christian kindness and love. And instead of having to try to win the city of Babylon, think of that city that was so great and massive and those walls that seemed to be impregnable and easily defended, we don't want to have to try to win back the city. So thinking about this now from the flip side, let's not be the brother or the sister that is offended. So how do we ensure that we are not given to offense? Let's take a look at Psalms chapter 119. We'll start off with verse 97. I believe that one of the keys is to love God's law. Psalms 119, verse 97. Now, as you likely know, this is the largest chapter in the Word of God. It's made up of 22 divisions, 8 verses apiece. Each division starts with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet, going from the first letter, Aleph, to the last letter. In verse 97, we read, "Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. Loving God's law is key, as we'll see in a moment, to not being offended. Loving his law. Jump down to verse 113. As you probably know also, Psalms 119 is all about the word of God. Its strength and also how it impacts the reader. So Psalms 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Vain means empty, worthless. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 163, same chapter, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And then the keystone here, verse 163. I'm sorry, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law. You know, this has been a favorite verse of mine for many years. And you know how the Lord gives us sort of like a progressive understanding of his word. I didn't really focus on this aspect of loving God's law until recently. I was like, you know, I had in my mind basically being a Christian ought to make us so that we're not easily offended, that we have great peace. But you notice there the antidote to offense: great peace have they which love thy law. We've got to love God's word. We've got to be in God's word. I mentioned how Sister Annie Dick there, even in a state of confusion, a temporary confusion, how she was quoting scripture. She loves God's word. She's laid it up in her heart. And then it's coming forward. Even during times of duress when she's under great trial of affliction. We need to love God's law. Love it. Believe it. Trust it. Obey it. Be in it. Meditate on it. So that is one of the greatest antidotes to being offended, is loving God's law. Not just knowing it, not just being a scholar of it, but actually loving it. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall be offended. So as we think about that, nothing shall offend them. One of the keys to not being the brother that's offended is not to be easily insulted. If we really get a hold of this verse and the aspect of loving God's law, we'll have a great deal of less drama in our life. I've said many times, I hate drama, like this emotional, I don't like it at all. And I want to have this great peace. Life should not be like the soap operas. It should not be. Another area of not being the one that's offended is not jump to conclusions. You know, again, thinking of that verse we read a moment ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. The person that is charitable, that is not easily offended, doesn't think evil, doesn't say, oh, look at the way that person looked at me. They looked at me with anger. What they said about me. Instead of jumping to conclusions, a person says, oh, I wonder what's going on in their life. I wonder how they're doing. Charity does not think evil. That takes us back to a verse we looked at recently in our text in Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him to hear the matter, to discerned, to dig deeper. A month or two ago, I gave an illustration of how some people will disappoint you and how important it is not to give up on them. In the illustration, I spoke of someone who that week I had called him and then he hung up on me. And then I called him again, he hung up on me. And three times I called him, and each time he hung up on me. And I was like, you know, I have shown so much kindness to this person over the years, and it hurt me. I wasn't offended. It hurt. But the next week after that, he called me back and he said, "I am having the worst time with my phone. The thing keeps dropping calls." And he says, "I need to go and get myself another phone." I was like, "Oh, that's what happened." You know, so we got to be careful not to jump to conclusions. I mean, even though I was hurt, I was still holding out hope that there was an explanation for it. And I was not going to allow myself to be offended by it. So let's be sure about the facts. It takes a degree of humility as well. You know, sometimes when we're trying to win that offended brother, we need to look for clarification on what's the circumstances, what's going on here. And if we wrong somebody, we need to seek their forgiveness. I mean, what did Jesus say when he gave the model prayer? I mean, we have to forgive those that wrong us. And he says, if you don't forgive those that have wronged you, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's pretty intense. We have to have a spirit of forgiveness where we forgive those that have wronged us. Okay, well, we're going to end with those thoughts there and close the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to demonstrate the love of Christ. Lord, he came, as the scripture says in Romans chapter 5, he came when we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly, your word says. Lord, even when we did not deserve his love, Jesus died for us. Lord, we pray that we would demonstrate that same love towards those that don't deserve our love, but that we would give it to them because we have been first loved by Jesus when he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. We pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to be fervent in our love for each other, that our love for each other would abound more and more, that we would not be given to offense. And if we, Lord, if we become offended and respond in a way we ought not to, Lord, that we would seek forgiveness, deal with it, Lord, and try to rebuild trust. Lord, we ask that you be with those that are still traveling. We ask that you give them safety on the roads and be with Sister Annie again and the Weavers as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.